KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have drizzle or mist. It's currently 32 degrees. We picked up 11 hundredths of an inch of rainfall here in Atlantic overnight. We look for it to be cloudy today with isolated rain showers and a high of 37. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The National Weather Service in Des Moines says a significant winter storm is expected to impact much of Iowa Monday into early Tuesday of this coming week. Officials say a strong low pressure system will bring widespread precipitation in the form of a wintry mix to central and southern Iowa Monday morning, before gradually switching to snow during the afternoon hours. Ice accumulations of greater than 1/4 inch may occur before the precipitation switches to all snow. Heavy snowfall is possible, especially west of Interstate 35, with accumulations greater than 6 inches possible. Now, those conditions, in addition to strong and gusty winds, will lead to treacherous travel conditions Monday afternoon and Monday night. Keep it tuned to KJAN throughout the weekend for further weather updates regarding this potentially significant winter storm. Authorities have released the name of a woman whose body was found inside of a trailer home that caught fire in northwest Iowa. The Spencer Fire Department says 44-year-old Julie Bennett was found by firefighters who responded to the fire on December 19th. Authorities say a space heater ignited combustible materials that caused the afternoon fire. Bennett's body was found after the blaze was extinguished. Fire department said that no foul play is suspected. The Iowa Public Information Board won't investigate whether an email sent to Dyersville Public Library trustees and others violated state open meetings laws. Board Deputy Director Margaret Johnson told city officials that the board no longer had jurisdiction because the complaint was filed more than 60 days after the alleged violation. And she says the September 29th email from Library Board President Lynn Osterhaus didn't appear to violate Iowa law. Osterhaus's email encouraged people to support City Administrator Mick Michael as city leaders considered firing him. The email was sent to Osterhaus's family and friends, including all 8 library trustees. Mayor Alvin Haas and some council members have said the email violated open meetings laws. Councilmember Mark Breitbeck argued the issue first should have been taken to the city attorney, Carter Stevens. Dubuque Community School District administrators want to expand the district interpreter program to keep up with the growing demand. The number of students in the district with limited English proficiency has increased by 170% over the past 10 years. Students in the English Language Learners, or ELL, program speak more than 20 different languages, including Tagalog, Russian, Arabic, and Marshallese. Laura Lee Hamill coordinates the ELL program and says that 53% of students in the program speak Marshallese, and she says Hispanic students are the second largest group at 22%. Federal law requires that schools ensure students have equal access to a quality education, including school communication with parents in languages they understand. Well, today is traditionally the busiest day at customer service windows of stores across Iowa as people try to return Christmas gifts that are the wrong size or the wrong color or they're just plain wrong. Kimberly Hazen with the Better Business Bureau said consumers might protest, but many stores are not required to exchange an item unless it's defective or was improperly advertised.
It really is up to the store's policy to take or not take an item in return. And also, you know, they can decide if they offer a full refund, if they offer just a store credit, if they offer just an exchange.
Stores must honor their written policies, but those might not always be clear. Some Iowa stores print those policies right on the receipt, which is very helpful, but she says most don't.
Then you want to really hope that you got a gift receipt from, you know, the person that gave you the gift, and then also making sure that you don't take the tags off and you keep the original packaging.
Consumers need to beware, Hazen says, as retailers may charge a fee to put items back on the shelves. A restocking fee, she says, can be as high as 25% of what you paid for the original item. If you encounter a problem at the store, you can consult the Better Business Bureau's website at bbb.org and enter your town in the search window. It's the season of giving, but some only want to take. A financial advisor says Iowans can and should do more to protect themselves from identity theft, but often don't bother. Mike Sotera with the banking industry website Bankrate.com says a new report shows 77% of Americans are afraid of identity theft, but many aren't taking the actions needed to reduce the risks. Sotera says and inexpensive fixes can't help to prevent the crime.
When you get a document in the mail, a bank statement, credit card statement, anything with your Social Security number on it, when you're done using that document, don't just throw it in the trash. You need to shred it. this prevents anyone from, you know, picking it out of your trash. Now, the good news about this is our survey found that 72% of Americans are already doing this.
A recent data breach involved the head of the CIA, whose personal email account was hacked, revealing a list of email address and social security numbers. As that case demonstrates, Cetera says it's impossible to cover all of your bases.
There's no way that you're going to be able to 100% protect yourself. When you're talking about things that are totally outside your control, like data breaches at corporations or government, there's literally nothing you can do to stop that.
If you're planning to use your smartphone, laptop, or a tablet at a coffee shop or some other public place, he says to never use an unsecured Wi-Fi network. Cetera says it's a good idea to check your credit report at least twice a year.
That's going to show if someone has been getting access to your credit and trying to open credit lines. And the good news about this, again, is, you know, it used to be pretty difficult for the average consumer to get a hold of their credit score or their credit report. But it's so, so easy now to get these things for free.
Iowans can also help to protect themselves from ID thieves by using different passwords for all of your online accounts and changing them frequently. And as the state heads into the heart of winter, the cost of heating fuels remain low. Iowa Department of Agriculture fuels analyst Harold Homas said the most common heating fuel, natural gas, was $1.65 last week and is still $1.75 in the latest industry survey.
I don't know the last time I saw that far under $2. It's been a decade or so, and that gas is especially being really hard hit. That's a challenging one. We have Conway or wholesale propane in like mid-30s, 30 cents a gallon. Propane has been just flat.
The latest report had propane averaging 99 cents a gallon. Propane prices, he says, can sometimes move up as the heaters turn on.
Haven't seen the usual winter bump, but I think that's because there's ample supplies in place, and now I think some of the retailers and wholesale are concerned about moving that propane.
Homas says the low prices are something that's not isolated to heating fuels.
You know, really, when you look across the spectrum, almost it's a soft commodity market. I mean, right now we have soft in the ag commodities, which we also watch here, whether it be livestock, grains, mines, minerals, energy. It just seems like the commodity markets are going through a fairly soft in a significant way here. These are pretty serious price levels that we just haven't seen in some time on the energy front.
The soft energy market, he says, is good news for Iowans when it comes to heating homes and businesses, as they lead to lower monthly bills. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Marilyn Ward, age 90, of Atlantic, died Monday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for Marilyn Ward will be held today at 10 o'clock at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Catherine Hubert, age 40, of Panama, died Tuesday at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. A massive Christian burial for Catherine Hubert will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Mary's of the Assumption Catholic Church in Panama. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Vera M. Buckendahl, age 97, of Alta, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center. A funeral mass for Vera Buckendahl will be today at 1:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Storm Lake. The Nicholas D. Jensen Funeral Home in Alta is in charge of the arrangements. Laverne Landsman, age 85, of Audubon, died Thursday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Laverne Landsman will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Ross Calvary United Methodist Church in Ross. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has the arrangements. Phyllis Hodney, age 93, of Irwin, died December 19th at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Phyllis Hodney will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. And Margaret Maggie Vanderheiden, age 88, of Dexter, died December 17th at the Stewart Community Care Center. Cremation has taken place, and a memorial service for Maggie Vanderheiden will be held Tuesday at 1 o'clock at the Dexter American Legion. Johnson Family Funeral Home Dexter Chapel is in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of our news this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.